Hey, welcome back to Liftoff Journeys with Jeannie Walden. I'm your host, and today we are going to be speaking with Ayurvedic practitioner Simi Chopra. She is known as one of the best Ayurvedic doctors in New York City. She's got a double master's in biostatistics and molecular biology from Rutgers University and JNU. This gives her the ability to understand health problems from both mainstream and Ayurvedic perspectives. Welcome to the podcast, Simi.
Thank you so much for inviting me over.
Absolutely. So, Simi, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner. I've recently finished my Ayurveda doctor program from Kerala Ayurveda. So Ayurveda, for people who are not familiar with, is a holistic system from medical system from India, thousands of years ago, old, and it is like a handbook of instructions which will help you become self-aware, take you to a journey of self-awareness, to be mindful of the affinities, tendencies, and nature, so that you can create a balance in body, mind, and five senses. So, what I do in my practice is basically to create a balance in people's lives, tweak their diet and lifestyle depending on whatever is the problem. So that's what I do, and my journey has been it's been quite different from the regular Ayurvedic practitioners.
So what I was doing some research before we spoke today on the podcast about, just the history of what you practice and everything that it entails. And it's quite fascinating, much different than what we look at as Easterners today. And I think that there's, just such a powerful message in there. Is it something that you believe that we should all live our lives practicing?
Sure. I mean, what Ayurveda is not only just to treat problems, health problems, but also to prevent health problems to arise. And these days, with the overload of work, the stresses of life, so we need a support system, not only as a community, but also in supporting of what kind of inputs you are taking in. Because inputs can be in the form of food as well as, thoughts, what we perceive. So all of this are very dependent on what kind of a body constitution you have. So in this world with so much of so much has changed from our parents and grandparents' generations, the quality of food, I mean, those are the which everyone knows, right? Where there's so much hormones, so much pesticides, all those are of course there. But even besides that, the lifestyle that we are leading these days is where we are not following the rhythm of the seasons. We are not following the daily rhythm of the day and night cycle. So all these really affect our health. So Ayurveda teaches you how to be in sync with nature. So we are Ayurved philosophy is that we are born from nature, so we can take all our inputs from nature. So any problems that we are facing, our nature is able to help us resolve them. So Ayurveda just is there to help you. Like I mentioned in the beginning, it's like a handbook, so of instructions.
Oh, that's so interesting. And so what made you get involved with the Ayurveda practice? Is this something that you just knew you had to share with others, something that was interesting to you?
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about more how you ended up where you are today and
Sure.
becoming a
Sure.
practitioner.
So there's a saying that you don't find Ayurveda. Ayurveda finds you. That's so true for me. So back in India, when I was in college, I got admission in a medical college to study Ayurveda. This was after 12th grade, which is after high school. But I chose to study molecular biology. I was like, no, I want to do something different. And it was great. I mean, I loved what I was doing. But after like 20 plus years, 25 plus years, when I came to US and I had my daughter, and she was suffering from a lot of health issues, insulin resistance, very when she was very, very young because of the stress in our lives. So I, throughout my life, even though I did not go into studying Ayurveda that time, but I always was drawn to Ayurveda. So I used to have severe sinusitis back in college days, back in India. Severe, like chronic, and the doctors had recommended surgery, but I chose to do just Ayurveda. So they did this, there's a therapy called Nasya, where they put medicated oil. So it was like a very, very, what do you call it? It was a detox procedure where they put for 7, 8 days, they put this tulsi rasa. It's like a juice of this plant that they had put. And after 7 days of that, I never ever had sinus problems. So I knew that Ayurveda, I always was geared towards it. So I had amazing results that I saw in my family, migraine, name anything like chronic fever, all those things. So when my daughter started having these problems, not these problems, as in she started having insulin resistance problem, that is when I started studying Ayurveda, because the my Ayurveda doctor back in India, he had died. So I couldn't find a replacement. So I was like, okay, let me start digging in. So let me start studying. So I got really deep into it, and then I went the full way. So I did the whole Ayurveda doctor program, and now I've been practicing for quite a few years now.
Wow, I love it. So your doctor died, and instead of finding a new one, you became the doctor
Yes.
yourself,
Yeah.
which
I couldn't find a replacement.
is that's fascinating. That's fascinating. And I also love how you talked about the fact that Ayurveda is not just about treatments and oils and other procedures, that it's also about managing your
Yes.
thoughts and just looking at a holistic approach to just the way you envision life. And I was really curious to
Sure.
hear more about your perspective on
Sure.
that.
So in Ayurveda, there's a separate, what do you call, branch. I was going to say system. Separate branch, which is called Satya Vijaya Chikitsa, which deals with all the problems with the mind. And there are these, like Ayurveda believes, the concept behind Ayurvedic philosophy is that we have these three energies, bodily energies, which maybe a lot of people know about it, Kapha, Pitta, Vata, but they're also mental energies. Mental energies called tamas, rajas, and sattva. So these, when they become imbalanced, the rajas and tamas, is when we start having problems. We are not able to handle stress, which is anything which is overload, we can't handle it, is when we start having problems. So when I said that we need to digest our like whatever the thoughts are coming, we need to perceive it properly. So if we have the mental strength, mental stability, only then we can handle whatever comes our way. And in today's society, there's so much thrown at us, be it in the form of news, be it in the form at your work. So much happens in your relationships. So when all these happens, there's a lot of toxins, mental toxins, they build up. So we need their ways, just by even by counseling, but as well as by there are a lot of herbs we have which will remove these, to balance the mental energies that I spoke about. So to balance them, to remove the mental toxins. So we need to remove the excess, what we don't need, to so that we can handle the, whatever's thrown at us in life.
Yeah, that it's really intriguing because you're talking about some physical symptoms like you have a runny nose and and mental symptoms. I can guess that a lot of it also has to do with the food that you eat as well, correct?
Sure. So, like again, I'm the way I mentioned the rajas and tamas energy. So, which are very they get affected by the food, by the environment that we are. So, tamas is a very heavy energy. Which gets increased when we are eating all these, we call them tamasic food, which is processed foods, frozen foods. All these things, they add to the tamas energy, which is heavy and leads to laziness, our capability of not handling stress properly leads to depression. And then the rajas energy is more stimulating energy. So again, foods like which are very stimulating, which could be spicy food, all these days food which are cooked with a lot of spices as well as onions and garlic, all these will stimulate. You need that stimulating energy to do your work, to do to finish your work, to do to any thoughts that you have. You need to go ahead and go out and do that to proceed to the action. For that, all that, you need that rajas energy. But when you are eating a little bit of too much of these stimulating foods, your rajas energy will become too much. It increases. So to balance that, we need the proper food, like what you said, that foods do affect our mental energies. So what we need is to be more sattvic. The sattva energy should be more than the others. When sattva energy is in balance and is more, you are able to handle all the stresses of life without getting overwhelmed or without getting into anxiety or depression. So there are sattvic foods, which are fruits, cooked vegetables. All these bring about the sattvic energy in you, so which balances your mental energies.
That's really interesting. Now, are there any fruits specifically that are better than others? I'm sure all of our listeners right now are probably wondering, all right, what should I be eating so that I've got the right balance of energy?
So that's another of these days, you know, you'll hear about these superfoods, which people get really hyped up about, which is, again, becomes a problem. You know, which you've seen, you know, people get into this, that they'll overdo of one particular superfood. And these superfoods are coming from maybe a different country where the people are generations they've been eating. So their genetic makeup is such that they are able to digest those foods. So what we need to eat is what we can digest. So it's not important what we eat. It's more important that what we digest. And not every food is beneficial for everyone. So we go crazy about organic food and the natural food. Yeah, that's great. But the most important thing is the food that we are able to digest rather than just eat. So how do we know what food is good for each individual? One is, as I mentioned, Ayurveda is a individualized medicine. So everyone we analyze according to their body constitution, whatever is imbalanced, we create a diet plan, a protocol which is going to be suitable for them. So for general information, coming back to what you can digest is the key factor is your digestive strength. So in Ayurveda we call it Agni. Agni's literal translation is fire. So when your digestive fire, like digestive strength, is good, so you're able to digest food properly. So even, you know, even if you might have seen some people, they'll eat anything and everything and they are able to digest. There's no problem. It's because their digestive strength is really good. So you can imagine like a pilot lamb and sitting in your gut. It's just like for imagination. If we have a pilot lamb and we to keep it glowing, you need to add the proper amount of fuel, the proper amount of air, the proper amount of warmth. So that's what we need to keep our fire, the Agni, glowing. So the key thing is to keep your digestion strong. So once that is strong, you're able to digest most of the food. But again, it does depend on individual.
The whole thing is so fascinating to me. So now I'm wondering, you know, if you go through this process and you keep the fire on, is it, it sounds like it's almost life-changing for somebody, that it, you know, balances their hormones, that it balances, you know, their just caffeine level, their energy levels, they're not needing to reach for coffee so much, they're mood is different, which then gives them the energy to perform better in their day. And it just seems that's like, is that the root of it? Is it all about, does it start with a fire or does it start with something?
You got it right. You got it totally right. You know, if our digestive fire is strong, we will digest properly, we will assimilate the food properly, our tissues will get nourished properly, and we will have the right amount of energy, and we won't feel lethargy, we won't have that fatigue, and we won't have health issues. So a lot of people, when they say they are gluten intolerant or dairy, they can't digest dairy. It's because the digestive strength is low. Once you make your digestive strength strong, you'll be able to digest everything, unless you have a celiac disease.
Now, I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm going to ask you a question you're not going to be able to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there a certain length of time that it takes to fix your digestive strength, or does it vary so significantly with every individual that you really can't say? Is it typically a few months, a few weeks, or?
No, actually, we can. Again, of course, you're right. It does depend on a person to person, depending on what problem they have. If a person has, let's say, rheumatoid arthritis, now they have a very chronic problem. So the main thing is that it started when their agni, their digestive strength was low, and they were eating the wrong foods. So inputs are very important. They were eating the wrong incompatible foods, which were not right for them. They could be eating the organic, the best food on earth, but it was not suiting their body because of the constitution that they are made of, whatever imbalance was. So for them, it's going to take a little longer time. We'll have to give them herbs. We'll have to change their diet so that their agni, their digestive strength starts increasing. But for a person who's just has some, let's say, just a little bit of bloating or some little bit of indigestion, for that, it's very easy to do it on your own. Just adding the right spices, just having these herbal teas like cumin, coriander, fennel seeds, you add it in water, boil it, and all these help you in increasing your digestive strength. So normally, if you don't have anything, any major problem, if you just have this for a few days, you'll see that you'll notice the difference.
That's great. I think it sounds so sensible and, you know, really could have such a big difference and an impact on everybody. So how are you getting the word out about what you do and what you practice and how people can benefit
Sure.
from it?
I have a website. It's been through friends and community. So I give talks because not everyone is familiar with Ayurveda. Even in the Indian community, it's a challenge to give out the information to them. So sometimes in the temple, sometimes there's any event, community events, so I'll go and do a talk. And then from there, they get that information. And then, of course, it's word of mouth. And then I have my Insta channel.
Yeah,
I have a TikTok. TikTok started going, my daughter created this TikTok during COVID time. And that has been going well, though I have to keep it up. So TikTok, Insta, website. Yes.
So I've heard from other practicing doctors of many different backgrounds that TikTok seems to be the place where people are going now to look for advice. My daughter uses it when we want to go out and eat somewhere, instead of going to Google and asking where's the best, you know, Mexican restaurant or French restaurant, she goes to TikTok and finds really incredible choices. But I've also heard that it's where people turn to now for advice that they can trust from real people that is validated just by the TikTok community. It sounds like you're seeing that
you
as
know,
well.
Initially, I did not believe. I was like, this is something. I think initially TikTok was not doing very well. But now with time, you'll see, you're right, that you'll get a lot of advice, some spiritual guidance, philosophical, you'll get everything there. So why TikTok has become it's become very popular with the kids, with the younger generation, not kids, like young adults. And the good part is all the young adults that I've seen, college going kids, the people who are just starting their life in the corporate world, they want to be healthy. You know, unlike our generation, I should say, which was a little, you know, a little confused, I should say.
Yeah.
And so these people, they really want to make a difference in their health, and they want to do it in a natural way. So, which is why they do go into TikTok. And yes, the sad part is we all are, our focus has become very limited. So TikTok has this, you know, few seconds, few minutes, and you get that information there.
So your daughter's made you famous. That's what I took away from this.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. That's what kids are for, to help out where they can, which is great. I think, you know, one of the reasons it sounds like what you're doing has become so popular outside of the way that you're sharing the information in such a relatable format is just, it seems like this is a simple program that's not extremely expensive. You're managing herbs in your home and different ways of just integrating it into your day-to-day lifestyle. So it's something that everybody can do. And instead of me saying that everyone can afford to do, it's something that everyone can't afford not doing, that it's something
Right. The easiest thing is to prevent a health problem from arising, and it does not cost anything. It just needs the right information. There's a lot of fear that has been induced about health, that if you should have so many supplements, without that you're not going to survive, overdose of vitamins, everything is happening. What you need is just the right food according to your body type. So we have become imbalanced in a lot of ways, but it's easy. If we have not reached the chronic stage, it's very easy to revert back. And even with chronic problems, Ayurveda has so much to offer, because we have a lot of therapies. We have these intense detox, which is like a 6-week program where we, especially for chronic health problems, they have shown some amazing results, at least to manage them. So yes, you're right. It does not cost so much.
Yeah. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask if there's an exercise or stretching aspect to this whole process, just because there's a picture behind you of a woman stretching. So I wasn't sure if that was part of the whole philosophy or if that's just a great thing.
It is actually, Ayurveda is a sister science of yoga, and yoga has become very popular in US. So yes, exercise is a big part of Ayurveda, where it works in in conjunction with yoga. So, but again, we have seen that yoga has become quite distorted, where people are overdoing it, hot yoga, and I don't know what kind of yogas have become. But yes,
goat yoga
I saw recently. So again, for everything, it all boils down to these three functional energies that we are made of. So for a kapha, so there are these three, we did not really get into that. So there's this kapha energy, which is a very heavy energy, which is, you know, you'll see people, if you say it away in a, look at it in a very superficial way, so these people are a little more big built. And so there's this heavy energy in them. For them, they need to have more stimulation, be it in the exercise. So for them, yoga should be more stimulating. All the poses should be more stimulating, more aerobics, and even their spices, stimulating teas. So everything about them should be stimulating to get them out of that lethargy. Then there's this, there are these people which are called pitta, which is it's a lot of heat in them. So they're already stimulated. So what we want to do is pacify them. So for them, not too much of aerobics. So for them, more swimming, more cooling exercises. So then if we go with the last body type or functional energy, is called Vata, which is all about movement. So for them, you need more calming. So for them, yoga should be more, which is more calming and grounding poses. And even there, if they're having some spicy teas, it should be warm, and so that they are, it pacifies them. So again, it all boils down to bringing a balance to these energies, bodily energies as well as mental energies.
It's just so incredible to look at how you can tailor something just to your individual and unique self and make it work for you. But again, it's something that can be tailored for everyone. So it's something that meets everyone's needs, but the individual at the same time.
Yes. There are some general tips that one can follow, but if they want to really focus on some particular problems they have, or just to so that they can prevent, it's best to talk to an Ayurvedic practitioner so that they can nail down what are imbalances. Because there's
a lot of people, they'll do these quizzes which are online, and what you get out of it is you'll find what your body type is in general in a very superficial way, but you won't find what your current imbalance is. So which is why a lot of people, they start taking in these diets, they formulate their own diet, which becomes more aggravating to that particular imbalance. So they'll get more imbalanced in that particular energy, dosha. So that's why it's best to talk to an Ayurvedic practitioner who can assess you what imbalance you're facing currently, and then they can formulate you a diet plan. And once that is done, it's easy for a person to just follow it. There's no specific food items that we are going to tell you, just have that only. We'll just give you a guideline what you can do, which is perfect for a person to just use that information. What we are trying to do is empower you so that you can apply that information in all aspects of your life, in your food, in your lifestyle, in your exercise regimen. So in all of these factors.
Well, Sumi, simple, powerful, good for you. This has been such a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you coming on Lift Off Journeys and sharing your journey with us. I still think it's crazy that you couldn't find the doctor that you needed, so you became the doctor that you needed. But really, really, really inspirational for so many listeners. And you're doing such a great service for all of us. I really appreciate you being on. We will share all of your social channels and information with our audience. And I'm sure you're going to be hearing from many of us. Thank you so much for being on Lift Off Journeys.